joined hands was our device when a banner first unfurled. Hands that knew the feel of tools and helped to build a world. Two hands became a million hands and fashioned down the years. The machines that make the world go round, the ships and planes and the diesel trains, the weaving frames and the building cranes. We are the engineers. We tame the fire and harness metals, learned a thousand skills. Our hands have made the tools men use in factories, mines and mills. Ours the hands that throw the switch that puts the world in gear, that make the plows that turn the soil,
and the ships and planes and the diesel trains, the weaving frames and the building cranes.
Faced union pioneers, police and spies at every turn, a world of doubt and fear. Our union sprang from poverty, from hunger, blood and tears, but we fought the cruel laws,
and when we lost we rose to fight again for the right to work and live like men. We
slow death on the go. The rusty lathe and the silent factory mark the hungry years, and the grass growing green on the shipyard floor,
and the endless beat of marching feet, men demanding the right to eat and work as engineers.
And we, the youngest engineers, now march to claim our rights. For we have learned that nothing's ever won without a fight.
Every battle fought and won reveals a new frontier, and a world to be won by those who build the ships and planes and the diesel trains, the weaving frames and the building.
That was Ewan McCall, The Song of the Engineers. Let's listen now to an interview with two activists up in Marysville who recently formed a coalition with activists in other cities through the Poor People's Campaign in Sacramento, Raylan Butcher and Brian Brown. Okay, well, it's around 12:20 on February 24th. Wow, no, it is the 24th, my goodness. And I'm talking with Raylan Butcher and Brian Brown of Marysville, who are activists with, homeless capers up there. What kind of homeless capers are you two up to?
the good Batman and Robin capers. What's going on is Monday... I think it last time, well, let me back up just a sec. I think we were voted to be members. We went to a steering committee this week in Sacramento, and we are now legal law advisors of Northern California for the Poor People's Campaign. Uh-huh. I'd like to just say that. I'm real happy about that. Mm-hmm. But what's going on is the judge had overruled the demur, and so what we did is... On my case.
Back up a bit, Brian. Brian, back up a bit. What for those who don't know, you're talking about the attempt of the city's demurrer, the city's attempt to stop your lawsuit concerning the seizure of property by the authorities of homeless folks up in Marysville, in a lawsuit, what, signed by more than 100 people?
Yes, that is correct.
City's attempt to demur this, that is to say, oh, it's not put together in the right form, throw it out, no basis for doing this, it's legally incorrect. The judge said, no, we can't throw it out, so they're proceeding to another hearing?
We're proceeding. I just went and filed a case management conference yesterday, and Monday is a big day for us because we're going to have all these people there at the courthouse, and Anthony's coming down, and we're going to file a default because the city didn't answer. They're supposed to answer after the demur, and they didn't, so we're going to file a default Monday, but we're also going to talk to the class, and we're going to probably go to the federal court in a class action suit.
And by Anthony, you mean Anthony Prince, a Palo Alto attorney who's also been fighting successfully for a time anyway against the Salinas City Council's camping ban.
Yes, and also we had Mark Maron jump on board the day before yesterday.
And Mark Maron is, of course, a Sacramento attorney who most recently lost a case with homeless people in Sacramento fighting their camping ordinance, but who has actually in the past... He helped arrange to have a camp set up on private property that was eventually attacked by the city, and he's been instrumental in sort of standing up for homeless people in Sacramento as an attorney, right?
Yes, he has a lot of experience. I don't know too much about, but Anthony knows of him. I did a little research. Yeah, he's very well knowledgeable about what he's been through. He's a participant, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so on Monday... What's happening again on Monday?
Newspaper coming. We called the newscast Ken, Lonnie Wong, because we were going to make a couple of demands, you know, just to let the class know exactly what the judge decided in my case, and that we're getting ready to, my case is going to stay separate, but we're getting ready to take the class action, and we're going to probably go to the federal level, which is really a good thing. That's what's going to go on Monday, and we're going to just, and we notified the paper here, we're going to call the Sacramento Bee probably too, and just try to get some exposure on what's going on.
And what's the weather like up there?
It's really nice, actually, today. The wind's blowing. It's a little cold, but it's relatively nice.
How cold is a little cold?
A little cold, yeah.
A little, about 50 degrees.
Yeah, because the weather in the Santa Cruz area is in the 30s, so it's pretty cold.
Now, that's cold, Robert.
Well, it was this morning, anyway.
Yeah, Robert, I have something to say also. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been working with the homeless for quite a few years now, and I do a lot of things for them. I mean, my job is Monday through Friday, 24 hours.
7 days a week.
7 days a week, yeah.
That's the homeless.
I mean, I work all night sometimes. I get calls at night, but I just got a call not too long ago, and I had found this young lady underneath a bridge. And it was raining, and she was crying, and I pulled over, and I talking to her. Well, come to find out, she was pregnant, and she went back home. I made arrangements so she could talk to her family over the phone. I mean, this is just the little simple things that I do out of my own pocket and my own happening. And anyway, she got to call her folks once a week. And now she has reunited with her family, and she didn't have one baby, but she had three babies. And her family is just like, oh, my God, there is people that care. And, you know, I work with people every day. Like, I get them into programs. I get them in rehab. And I do this myself. And I'm also a member of the Consortium for Care for the Homeless. But I don't ask them for much because they really don't do their job like they should. And I think Monday is going to really open their eyes to what Brian and I have been doing, even though we have a suit against the county and the city. I think it's going to open up a bunch of eyes Monday at the courthouse because everybody goes by the courthouse every day. There's, I don't know how many people drive by or walk by or are in the building, But I'm hoping that the community here in Marysville really sees what we are trying to do so that it doesn't happen to anyone else that comes through this town, maybe just in passing, you know, and they ended up homeless and they're just passing, they're just going from place to place like a gypsy does. And I'm hoping that our event Monday, because,
so what exactly,
Anthony Prince,
Raylynn, what is your event exactly going to be?
I think Anthony wants to do maybe a little press conference, and he's trying to work that out on his end, and I'm working it up here with our local paper, which they haven't really been wanting to write anything about the homeless issues going on up here. I don't know why, but they haven't. Like, we've had events when we did the...
When we had a peaceful demonstration
on the 15th.
For the Martin Luther King Day event,
and they wouldn't come. They didn't want to, you know, nothing to really do with it. They just kind of floated on down the road. Someone, I believe, is telling them not to write anything else up. But then again, maybe, I don't know, maybe they just didn't think it'd be a good story. But Monday, I know that they'll be there.
So our folks,
I'm pretty
our folks,
sure. And Prince, Anthony Prince is going to maybe try to make a little conference. And
so let me ask you, Raylynn, are folks pretty much now in small tent villages, or are they kind of hiding out in bushes in separated areas?
They're pretty much hiding, and when they do find them, they make a move.
And are people being arrested?
Really,
are people being arrested, or just driven to different places?
They're being stalked. What I would call it, because they'll take all their stuff and then they'll turn around, and in another week they'll follow them where they're at, and then we get calls again at all hours of the night, hey, the court enforcement is here to try to take our stuff. And lo and behold, that's sure what's happened. They go and take at 11 o'clock at night. You've got the county driving around with the employees representing the county taking personal property without any right to seizure, or they don't have no right to seize that property. And even if they do, they need to store that property no matter what city you're in California. They need to store that property. They can't just come and immediately seize.
Brian, do people have cell phones themselves? Do they have any way of... I know that it's hard to recharge your cell phone if you're outside, but would you say first of all, give me an estimate of how many homeless folks there that you're in touch with in Marysville?
200 people all together, but on any given day when we drive through town, we talk to probably in excess, probably 10 to 15 people in a day.
And that's
just ones we talk to directly.
And is there a place where people regularly go, you know, whether it's, you know, for a meal or for a, you know, some church shelter that where you can actually go, where you can actually go and talk to folks as a group?
We have a grand opening today. It's called a ribbon cutting today. It's called the Life Center. And Raylynn was a huge part in getting that operation going. And what it is, it's a wash. You can wash your clothes. You can come in and you can have a little bit of camaraderie, take a shower, and you get your head on straight. It's only 3 days a week for now to start, but they're having the grand opening today. And that's the newest place out here so far. But, you know, Robert, all the places, the 14 Ford, I'm starting to take some calculations on data, and I'd advise anybody else that really cares about it to protect your rights about them taking anything, take data and take notice on how many available shelter beds that there is in your community versus how many people need those beds. So therefore, when they come up and say you can't camp, you can't sleep, well, that's not technically true, because underneath the Kincaid law, the Kincaid and Fresno case, which is a real interesting case, you can't stop a person from sleeping, right? Well, if there's no place for me to lay my head and you can't tell me to lay my head, then I can pretty much camp and the ordinance doesn't abide to me. I can sleep anywhere that I would like because I have to sleep. It's an involuntary human movement. So at that at that point, it gets a really, you know, iffy, and you can't get arrested. You can't do this if you don't have a place to be. And that's coming out to be a greater thing in California right now. If you don't have a place to put us, you can't arrest us.
So, Brian, you know, you've talked about the new Union of the Homeless that you and Raylynn have been with, and you too have been talking about that, Raylynn, in previous phone calls. Is there a place where you can have regular meetings and you actually can plan actions, or is that not happening yet?
That's what we're, on a small scale, because we got sub-chairs and co-chairs and committee, since the one that we just joined, we did have that steering committee, which was 40. We had a professor from Sacramento State, which, matter of fact, next Saturday, there's going to be from 12 o'clock to 1:30 at the University of Sacramento. The professor's going to be there with civil rights and human awareness, and everybody's welcome to come there to be part of it. But, yeah, we're trying to organize this now. We've got all the things in place to where we can have local, monthly meetings to where when we're in a city like we are here, we can maybe get some of the people to pull together here to join us in the fight for our civil and human rights awareness.
Hmm. Well, is there more you want to say about anything upcoming or anything that's happened in the last few months you think might be of interest to folks listening?
Well, I'll tell you, I know if they're out there and One thing I was just saying about the camping, you know, if they don't have a place for you to go, and it's easy to get the data, you just find out all your shelters and all your options that you have. If the options are less than what you have weighed out in favor, then when they come to arrest you, you have every right to be where you're at, especially if they don't have a place for you to go.
Here, here.
If they don't, I mean, that would help, especially with the weather the way it is. I know there's a lot of people. I've read 4 or 5 cases last night about L.A. They're handing out vouchers. They're lining them up, and they're getting them out. The judges did this, which is okay because they have had places for them. But that would be my thing right now, I could say to you, that I'm really learning on, that you have a right to be somewhere.
Gotcha. You've emphasized that and made that clear. Anything else?
Yes, I have something to say. Just here recently, our chief of police is now our president of the Consortium for Care, and he is, like, working really, really hard. His name is Christopher Sachs. Anyway, Christopher and I have been working together on an employment event, and that's going to be March 16th, and we worked really hard to get, like, 20 people that have companies, and they are willing to let 20 homeless people that are not housed and at a chance at their company. So what they're going to do is we're going to meet at the Life Center, and I've got 20 people that I'm taking, men and women, and we're going to have mentors, and they're going to match them with these companies, and then they can speak with them and get 20 people off the street with a job, and then hopefully the Life Center is going to be opening up a temporary housing. It's upstairs in the same building, but right now they've got to do the code thing, of course, but we're ready to rock with some employment opportunities up here, and getting some business owners' eyes open.
So 20 people out of 200 might get some housing once it gets built, if they get jobs somewhere along the line, is what you're telling me.
Right. Yeah. Because, see, we have some groundbreaking right now for, they're called Mercy Housing. You put in 500 hours, that's your down payment, then they go by an income. But you have to have an income. So what we're trying to do is we have companies, and we've got other companies, but we're going to only do 20 at a time,
yeah,
and see how it goes from there, and then start getting these people jobs.
We'll get back to you, Raylynn, in order to see if this has gone anywhere, and if so, for how many people. We have this so-called campground opening where they're destroying a campground on Wednesday here in Santa Cruz, campground which houses 57 tents. It's going to open for a fraction of that, at least a fraction of the space that's currently allowed, and my fears are going to use that as an excuse to drive away the overwhelming majority of people, or to make them more insecure in their tent space, wherever they happen to be, or their sleeping bag space, or their huddled with a blanket under a bush space, or in the shelter of a storefront that where they're likely to get hassled just because, you know, even if it's the dead of night and midnight, they don't want
Robert,
people
what I would do, what I would do in that position is exactly what I did when they came to do me. I outlined my perimeters of my property, and I made sure that this was my area, and I put signs on, I do not give you permission to destroy or take my personal property because it has value to me.
Good idea. Well, thank you.
They do that, I don't care. It could be a string. It doesn't matter. They still cannot enter your chantel without the proper papers. They cannot come and seize your property when it's outlined in a barrier or boundary.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we have a camping ordinance here which makes it illegal to be asleep after 11 o'clock at night, and therefore this is a pretty broad mandate for the police. That's the problem.
Wow. Yeah, well, if they don't have sufficient for 50, they really can't do that. And if they do, then they should take you to them. They should just take a step and put you in the street. Now, there's two cases right now that the judge has ordered them to immediately stop seizing all property.
You mean
because it is you, so you, yeah because
you mean
so
wow
mean,
wow wow hold it you mean in Marysville, right?
There's a couple other cases that I've read that like the one right now in L.A.
Orange County you're talking about. Yeah.
Pardon me?
You're probably talking about the Santa Ana Riverbed people.
Yeah, and the one in San Diego too. There's four or five of them, and they had I guess correctly the right way, so they're not really hassling about it. But then again, they've had time to do it. Now having time to do it and seeing work be in progress, as long as you're working together, that's okay. But still, when they don't have nowhere to put you, they still have to find somewhere, and it has to be an adequate place of decency. It can't be a despicable place.
Well, you're talking to the converted, but the police don't think that.
Yeah.
I think here, unless you know, it depends on it. You know, it really depends on having some legal muscle, which is an issue. I thank you for spending the time to talk, and I'm gonna leave it there. But get back to me and let me know what comes of all this in the next week.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to get a hold of us, we are now legal, at least some legal advisor. Mark Maron is the main chair of our committee, but so we do have some good advice on there. So if anybody wants to get a hold of us with the situation, they might need some support or something there, they can get a hold of us on that now.
Okay, well, you want to give a number where you can be reached or an email or something?
Yep. Okay, my number is 916-407-9214, and Ray Lynn's is 530-415-8481. We are activists for the Northern California Homeless Union, advisory.
If anybody missed that, you just call me at 831-423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, and I will dig out those numbers and pass them on to you.
Because I do have people down there, if it warranted to where I needed somebody to help to show up to maybe to instigate something in between, I probably have that long of a reach.
Yeah,
so,
sharing information amongst each other is a must. It's a must, you know. So, Robert, I want to thank you for today.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
Thanks to your pooch as well. All right, you guys take care. I'm going to roll on you.
Okay.
All right. All right. Okay, Robert. Stay warm.
You too.
Yeah,
thank you.
If there's anyone there has a moment to spare and can give undivided attention, I'd be grateful if you'd give a minute or two and consider some points I would mention. There are slanderous tongues ever ready to wrong and murder the fine reputation of the lads with big feet who by pounding the beat are protecting the peace of the nation. There are short-sighted folks who insist that these blokes are just uniform masters of thuggery. There can be no dispute if they didn't put the boot in, the country would soon go to buggery. So try and keep calm when they're twisting your arm or planting a fist in your gum. When they're giving you hell in a cold prison cell, they're only just doing their job. When Hitler and Co. were running the show assisted by Germany's coppers. If a nose was too big or a mind was too active, its owner was sure of the chopper. Socialist, communist, Jews and trade unionists landed up dead or in quad. And the police were in there, of course, doing their share. Ah, but they were just doing their job. Il Duce, the bully, and Franco, his cully, both loaded their country with chains. And in the front ranks of these two mountebanks were the police of both Italy and Spain. In South Africa, El Salvador, Guatemala, where they call working people the mob. The screams and the yells from the punishment cells show the police are just doing their job. If you're black or just brown, if you're jobless and down, if you speak for a world which is saner, if you stand up and fight for what's yours by right, if you're an anti-nuclear campaigner, remember the chap in the comical hat is one of humanity's crosses. Wherever there's trouble, whatever the struggle, he'll be on the side of the bosses.
And that was Only Doing Their Job from a 1980s vinyl by Peggy Seeger and Ewan McCall called Items of News. I played it before, but I wanted to play it again, and I'm going to do that with another one of their numbers before diving off to bed myself. This is being recorded the day before the Sunday show, which you're listening to on Sunday, I presume. But the description of the upcoming flashback, well, you're going to get it now. So there is also a city council meeting coming up day after tomorrow, which until a few minutes ago I'd been completely ignoring because of other concerns and preoccupations. There is a 1 o'clock closed litigation session of the Santa Cruz City Council, and then at 2 o'clock there's a regular session, and there's no evening session. I don't see much on the council agenda that interests me, although I do note that what the council is doing later on in the afternoon is they are putting on the ballot, the June ballot, actually, repeal of Measure K, which is the adult marijuana criminal offense's lowest enforcement priority. They've had a thing called the Measure K Commission that was created by the citizenry about, I guess it's 12 years ago now. I think it was in the 2006 election, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be. This was to require the police to make it their lowest enforcement priority for marijuana arrests if people were in private, if they were over 21, and if they weren't driving, I guess, were the issues involved. The Measure K Commission really was attempting to rein in police harassment using marijuana laws, and it was initially crippled immediately by the city attorney, which stopped the review of police records. This was about 3 or 4 years after the police review board was eliminated in the city, 3 years, I guess, in 2003. And it has never been fully staffed. When it was, the people who originally got on it sincerely saw that it was being hamstrung by the staff member who was then Tina Scholl, who went on to become assistant shitty manager, or city manager, as she calls herself. And it's usually, unfortunately, part of the universal law that scum floats to the top in these political scenes. But I'm suspicious of this elimination of Measure K, though it may have some good points, given that there has been a partial legalization of marijuana, though one of the things I was going to discuss and maybe bringing up on Thursday when I do another version of this show is that the tax and regulate laws of the marijuana Proposition 64, I think it was 64, I may be getting the numbers or the letters wrong, the measure that passed a couple of years ago, that essentially allowed for cultivation and sales of marijuana in limited ways, allowing cities to engage in all kinds of abusive restrictions on marijuana sales and marijuana use, and marijuana cultivation, which Santa Cruz has been doing as well as other cities, allowing only 5 outlets for marijuana sales and no outlets where you can actually consume marijuana on the premises. And there's also there's some recent figures that are very interesting to read, that only 1% of marijuana sales is actually going in sales tax, because people are not, I may have that wrong, I think it may be that 25% is going, but only 1% of the growers have actually signed up because they can't get through the licensing process, or they're finding it too unprofitable. And I'm going to be kind of looking at that in more detail, hopefully with some expert. Unfortunately, it looks like Pat Malo is his failure to return calls repeatedly. It makes me think he's either not interested or not available or not friendly. I'm not sure which. One of the three, it looks like. But I have put in a call to Mike Boyd, and Mike is an activist who has been trying to fight to stop the taxing of medical marijuana, which I think something was done about that in the more recently. But again, I want to give you more updated information when that happens. So the point, though, that I began with was that the city council meeting, the afternoon session on Tuesday, has only the only thing I noticed on the agenda that struck my fancy or my notice was this item 13, the resolution to include a measure on the June ballot to eliminate Measure K. The city council never approved of Measure K. They wouldn't put it on the ballot initially. It had to be done by citizen activists who actually went around door to door or on the streets with clipboards and did that. As now, the rent control initiative is being promulgated by the community, not by the city council, of course. Although the city council has passed the rent freeze, which I was very surprised to find, but maybe I shouldn't have been, because there is such a seemingly strong movement toward rent control and just eviction that the city council might have found itself on the dunking end of the seesaw if they hadn't done something like that, and there might have been some more direct protests, rent strikes, and so forth, though I have not been terribly impressed with the follow-up of the rent control activists in terms of making demands on the city council last year, although there was a very good turnout at one of the meetings, but that was followed by Christopher Crone shuffling his feet and delaying any kind of action until more recently. But then we did get action, so I'm not quite sure what to say. Anyway, what's coming up on this program next is a flashback. And that flashback is going to be back to December 15th, 2011. It's going to include an interview with activist Brent Adams, another one, this time 7 years before the one you heard earlier in the show, when Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcaster and Good Times writer John Malkin will be interviewing him on the Occupy movement. Brent was one of the 4 of the Santa Cruz 11 who were hung out to dry in the prosecutions designed to crush and dispirit and discourage political activism in Santa Cruz after the Occupy movement was crushed nationally. A real sad thing, but and something hopefully we will recover from. That's followed in this 2011 flashback by Nutcracker Nick talking about the Occupy support for the Oakland port strike, which the Occupy movement helped shut down in support of the longshoremen there. Then there's going to be updates on false police arrests at the San Lorenzo campground dispersal, not the one that's coming up this 28th of February, but the one that happened way back in December of 2011, when several hundred people were driven away from a camp spot with no place to go, similar to what's happening now, though this time they have the cover of
a 1 month left Association of Faith Communities winter shelter program and the River Street Boneyard campground on the outskirts of town, the barbed wire special that you're not allowed to walk to and that is very limited space and does only serves less than 10% of the homeless population in Santa Cruz. But we're going to look at what happened way back in 2011 when they dispersed the campground. There'll be a call in from a German listener. And finally, there's going to be a report on the sheriffs ignoring the Board of Supervisors' smart meter moratorium that was supposedly allowed people to say no to smart meters and to stop their installation in their on their property if they wanted. And the sheriffs were supposed to help them in doing this, and of course the sheriffs took the other side. Anyway, that's all happening at the December 15, 2011 flashback, or will be shortly, as you listen to it if you do. We're going to end with a final song by Peggy Seeger and Ewan McCall called Legal Illegal. And maybe familiar to those of you who regularly listen to this show, but perhaps you can enjoy it anyway. Thanks for listening to this edition, and call me at 423-4833 if you have comments or reports or you're interested in becoming involved with homeless activism or Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Every time you switch on the TV, you can bet your old boots that at some point you'll see a high-ranking copper or Tory MP calling on all who are British and free to stand up and defend law and order. It's illegal to rip off a payroll. It's illegal to hold up a train. But it's legal to rip off a million or two that comes from the labor that other folk do. To plunder the many on behalf of the few is a thing that is perfectly legal. It's illegal to kill off a landlord or to trespass upon his estate. But to charge a high rent for a slum is okay. To condemn two adults and three children to stay in a hovel that's rotten with damp and decay is a thing that is perfectly legal. If your job turns you into a zombie, it's legal to feel some despair. But don't be aggressive, that is, if you're smart, and for Christ's sake, don't upset the old apple cart. Remember, the boss has your interests at heart, and it grieves him to see you unhappy. If you fashion a bomb in the kitchen, you're guilty of breaking the law. But a bloody great nuclear plant is okay, though plutonium processing hastens the day when this tight little isle may be blasted away. Nonetheless, it is perfectly legal. It's illegal if you are a gypsy to camp by the side of the road. But it's proper and right for the rich and the great to live in a mansion and own an estate that was got from the people by pillage and rape. That's what they call a tradition. It's illegal to carve up your missus
or put poison in your old man's tea.
But poison the rivers, the seas and the skies, and poison the mind of the nation with lies. If it's done in the interests of free enterprise, then it's proper and perfectly legal. It's legal to join a trade union, and to picket is one of your rights. But don't be offensive.
once if when scabs cross the line, be nice to the coppers and keep this in mind. To picket effectively, that is a crime, worse than if you had murdered your mother. It's legal to sing on the telly, but they make bloody sure that you don't. If you sing about racists and fascists and creeps and thieves in high places who live off the weak, and those who are selling us right up the creek, the twisters, the takers, the con men, the fakers, the whole bloody gang of exploiters.